flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I told you guys a while ago, eventually we're going to move on. Jets will hire a coach. The Jets will hire their general manager. The Giants will decide what they're going to do. And for the most part, the free agent baseball stuff will peter out, although we're still waiting on Alonso. And eventually we're going to start really devoting our attention to a team that I'd say 95% of us in this city root for, love, and always have. That's the Knicks. And let me tell you something, like the Knicks are rolling. I love what I'm seeing from the Knicks right now. They sweep Denver last night, a lot of fun, starting to gel, a lot of chemistry, and all is good for the Knicks. And, you know, if you listen to, and CeeLo just played this, the cut there from Jokic about how he thinks they're one of the best teams in the NBA, that's all well and good. Hey, listen, it is now January 30th, and this is about a championship. This is, and I've always said this, Sal and I have gotten into it about this, you know, his perception of the Knicks, my perception of the Knicks. I didn't love the way they looked early. I didn't go nuts early in the year. I didn't go nuts because I understood that there was a baked in amount of time for them to get their act together and, you know, adjust with the departure of Hartenstein and obviously DiVincenzo and some new additions. Obviously, you've got to grant them that freedom to figure things out. And I did, but I was a little worried about their tenacity, just the way they kind of looked, not scoring. That was pretty much basic and easy from day one. Just they felt a little different from a year ago because they were different. Now, sometimes when you are different, different can be bad. At least, this is different, you know. But different isn't always bad. So my declaration early on the Knicks was never definitive. It was always, well, I got to see what happens with Mitchell Robinson. And we are back at the same exact place. It is January 30th. The Knicks without Mitchell Robinson, while they will be fun, will not win a championship. They just won't. They will not win the NBA championship if Mitch doesn't come back. And the trade deadline is coming up. It is February 6th. And listen, this is fairly encouraging because Tom Thibodeau was saying last night, I don't know if it was before or after the game, but he gave about as detailed an update on Mitchell Robinson as we've had in a while. And he said that, you know, he's been running, he's been jumping, but he's yet to be cleared for contact. Okay, now, I would imagine he'll get cleared for contact in a couple of days. But that doesn't mean that everything is good. Once you get cleared for contact, you got to make sure that there's no setbacks. And then if there's no initial setback, you've got to make sure that he's able to you know, lock it in and stay healthy for the next 3 months of high-impact, high-intensity basketball. And I'm sorry. I am not willing to take the chance on this. This is not a cute little story. This is not about the Knicks trying to, you know, win 44, 45 games and overachieve as the sixth seed. You know, cute little story. Okay, just bridge the gap until we start playing some real baseball stuff. The Knicks... And I'm not going to be so brazen as to say that the Knicks should win the championship. That's ridiculous. But the Knicks have put themselves in a position to be in position to win the championship. And I ask you this. What's the one thing that can obliterate that dream? To me, it's depth in the front court. And obviously, just like an unexpected injury, which would apply to every team that's in the conversation for an NBA championship. So you can't even waste time on that. God forbid if it happens, it happens. All right. But you've got to align yourself with the best possible roster, and I'm not waiting. I'm sorry, guys. I know everybody out there loves Mitchell Robinson. Half of you talk about Mitchell Robinson like he's Patrick Ewing or Willis Reed. You know, Mitchell Robinson's a good story, man. He is. He's a good dude. He's a good Nick, but he's an unreliable Nick. He is an unreliable, physically unreliable New York Nick. And every chip, every meaningful chip that the Knicks had, meaning Leon Rose, they took it, pushed it in the middle of the table, and they went for it. They took their big swing. There's no other big franchise all-three deal to be had. And I'm okay with it because what they did for Cat and with Cat and what they did with obviously Bridges as a wing, pairing him with OG and of course the great Jalen Brunson, it was a good swing. It was a calculated risk and they waited on that move for a while. They pounced and here we are. They are at the upper echelon of the NBA. But now it is go time. It is go time. It is January 30th, and the deadline is the 6th. So let's say, and we'll get to these calls in a minute, I already know, because I know many of you, not all of you, but many of you are so enamored with Mitch that it blurs your senses of reality or your basketball sensibilities, because what you do is, and I guess I understand this to an extent, but I'm not going to get tricked again. You look at Mitchell Robinson, and you accentuate all the good, and God, there's so much good. He is a rim protector. He jumps out of the gym. He, you know, you don't have to run plays for him. Just, you know, lobs at the rim and dunks and sets some screens up high and roll to the rim. It's perfect. You know, he can defend up top. He can defend to the paint. Great. Is he playing? And that is not a risk I'm willing to find out. I got news for you. Not only would I make a trade, okay, but if somebody calls me and wants to acquire Mitchell Robinson as a means to get me something that I believe is more physically reliable, maybe a bit of a different skill set, like Valanciunas, who obviously is not the athlete that Mitchell Robinson is, but he's 7 feet, plays every night, you know, average 16, 17 points a game, couple of years, good basketball player, better rebounder than you think. All right, he's going to get picked apart a little bit in space with the pick and roll, fine, but at least I know he's going to play. So that's where I'm at. I'm going to stop short of saying I love where the Knicks are. I like where the Knicks are. I really, really like. And the thing that bothered me, and I just had to get over this, to be honest with you. Like, this was something I just had to come to on my own. There was nothing that, no debate with Sal, no conversation with you, nothing. Up until I would say, maybe the last week or so, it's been fairly recent, I didn't feel this Knicks team like I felt last year's Knicks team. And I wasn't alone. Talked to a lot of buddies, you know, in town and going to rec basketball games and doing what I do. You know, I coach a lot of around kids. A lot of dads are sports fans, obviously. They know what I do. And, you know, and they're all Knicks fans. And they're like, you know, I know we're good, but this team doesn't feel the same. I'm like, I'm with you. It's not as much fun watching them. And then things started to gel a little bit, and Bridges started to get loose a little bit, and Brunson and Cat make the All-Star team, and as starters, which never happened in at least 50 years since that happened to the Knicks, and they drop 140-plus points back-to-back for the first time since the mid-60s. Like, I'm starting to see a little gelling, and they played some defense last night, and okay, they've won some good games against some good teams. So I feel about as good with this team as I have all year. Notice I use the word good and not great. Notice I use the word like and not love. I will love this team. If I knew that Mitchell Robinson was physically reliable, I don't. That's why I make it a trade. Because I want to love these guys. And I want to really believe they can win the championship. I don't care about the second round. I don't care about the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to get to the finals and I want to win. I want to win a championship. And if they don't do something, they will not. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Sal is still healing up. We'll have a little fun with Sal later, but he's good. I know that you guys saw the picture that he posted on social media last night. He's the one-eyed sports radio host. He came through it unscathed, and he's getting a little love from mama and wifey, and he might be back tomorrow. Probably not. Most likely Monday, but he's healing up. So if you guys were wondering, it went great for Sal, which obviously is awesome. All right, let's get to you guys here. Let's see what you think. Raising Babylon, BT and Sal. What's cooking there, Ray? What do you got? Ray. Okay. That's not the way I like to start a show. Matt is in State College, Pennsylvania. What's up, Matty?
Hey, BT, thanks for taking my call, man. I love your show in part because I am that squirrely combination of a Knicks, Yankees, but a Jets fan.
Ooh.
And with the Knicks, man, I'm totally with you 100%. I've actually been calling the last few days, making a similar point. Like, I don't want to be in March and April talking about is Mitchell Robinson healthy, whether or not we're going to win a championship. Like, I want that chip right now. I'm 42 years old, man. I've been a Knicks fan my entire life. Like, it is go time. And the thing is, like, if they're not going to play Jericho Sims, I don't know what the situation is there. I like Jericho Sims. There was a game like 10 games ago. He came out first half. He was balling out on defense, rim protector. Like, he's got great footwork. He's able to guard all over the floor. If the Knicks aren't going to use that guy, there's value for him somewhere else. Precious Achiuwa is spending way too many minutes, you know what I mean, playing at the five spot.
He's playing awesome, and though. Precious is playing fantastic. I love Precious. I'm a boomer on this. I love him.
I love Precious also, but I love Precious in part because there's an opportunity there because the Knicks don't have a five, especially when Cat gets in foul trouble or if he just needs a breather. Like, yeah. I don't want to be like last year where we were with the Pacers where we were basically like, you know, the Walking Dead with everybody, like, you know, coming out. Like, everyone was so tired from the entire season against the Pacers. It was like we had like six healthy guys.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not going to play if Jericho Sims is not the dude, package him with a pick. And even if it doesn't even, I mean, Valanciunas would be great, but like, we need a rim protector who's 6'10 or above who can help us. Like, that is the missing piece for this team. I love Tyler Kolek. If we need to get Tyler Kolek and Jericho Sims and a pick packaged together for the best possible value at 6'10 and above, do it now. Let's get this chip. Let's get after the Celtics. Let's go.
Let's go, Maddie. Now, that's how you, you know what? I'm happy the first call didn't go through. That's how you start a show, Maddie. Fired up. I love it. I really like that take. That's good. Now, you happen to like Jericho Sims a little bit more than me. It's funny. So we had Aaron Boone in studio the other day. Oh, and by the way, it's on our WFAN YouTube page, the actual video of me and Booney going head-to-head with your pull your pack. And I know we'll get Sal versus Booney probably tomorrow. By the way, BT and Sal 2, Yankee skipper, zip, in case you guys didn't see the scoreboard. But we talked a lot of things, obviously, with Aaron Boone, and one of the things that came up is, all right, so where is Jazz going to play? And Boone told us right now probably second base, which means you might get a little DJ LeMahieu with third base. And I say that not to morph into a Yankee conversation when we're talking Knicks, but if I asked you, and Hoff, help me out, and Dove, if I'm missing a name here, maybe you throw Daniel Jones in there as well, even though he's gone, so I guess that's why I didn't really think of him top of mind. If I said, you know, in the last two or three years, who have been the most injury-prone New York athletes? Well, one is DJ LeMahieu. You'd probably say Stanton, you know, even though he was a beast in October, which he usually is, but he's always nicked up during the regular season. We would have said Daniel Jones, whether it was the neck or the head or the knee or whatever it may have been, but he's gone. You got to say Mitchell Robinson. You have to. He's hurt every single year. So if your answer to the question that I just asked and then answered my own question, which I guess is kind of weird, but if it's Mitchell Robinson on that list, and it has to be, otherwise you're just not watching the same New York sports that I'm watching, then the next question would be, why would you pin your NBA championship hopes on that? Why would you? Wouldn't you try to increase the odds and circumvent some of those risks? you know, at least mitigate risk as much as you can. I know that I certainly would. Let me get Jerry and Chester. Jerry, BT, and Sal. What's going on, Jer?
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not much, man. Me and you are on the same age. So with the Knicks, I'm really happy where they are right now. They're doing well, but I'm so with you with the Mitchell Robinson thing. They have to figure out something because you can't rely on him. Like you said, he's hurt every year since we've had him. Like we have to figure out a way to substitute for him because a lot of these guys, I'm telling you right now, Thibodeau, I love him, but he's freaking working some of these guys too much, man. Like he's got to have a better rotation. Like I love Precious too, like you do. But he seems like he never sits, and what he does is for like 3 seconds, and then he's back on the floor again. He's got to give these guys more. Like that's why we got to make a trade to get somebody here to give some of these extra guys some rest for the postseason.
Well, Jerry, we're on the same page. Thank you, buddy. So he has expanded from 8 to 9, which is something that is always going to follow Tom Thibodeau until he's either a champion or he's no longer coaching the Knicks, like, or wherever, just coaching in general. He is a taskmaster with the minutes, and I generally don't really care about that. I'm of the mindset, and I've always been this way, dude, play. I mean, you make it seem like you're digging ditches for 15 hours a day for 7 straight days without any time off. Jesus, I mean, the softness. And now you got the commissioner, who is an absolute joke. I mean, Adam Silver, he is awful. Now he's out there saying he is just so weak as a commissioner. I think he's a very good number two. I think he's an awful commissioner, as I've said many times. Now he's out there saying, oh, maybe we should play 40 minutes instead of 48. What's this guy kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's wonderful. So let's take the record books and let's throw those in the incinerator. And now once, you know, the minutes get adjusted and, you know, that becomes common, 40-minute games. Now, we'll still get maintenance days. He's just, oh, my God. I generally do, that was a little aside, I generally do subscribe to playing and earning your money, you know, and really taking care of your body and preparing yourself for the rigors of a long season. You know, back in the day, maybe not Bernard King, maybe not Larry Bird, maybe not Magic Johnson, like all-in warriors, even though, you know, Bird didn't have the body like, you know, but he was an all-in kind of guy, as we know, he's a warrior. Now, back in the day, guys would show up, whether it's spring training or NBA training camp, and that's when they would get in shape. Well, here's an idea, guys. Instead of training like Hercules for the 3 or 4 months that you have off, you know, why don't you just do a little stretching, you know, stay loose, stay limber, keep the weight down, and don't go so nuts on the weights and all the other stuff you do. And actually earn your money, you know? So I'm a minutes guy. I have always been a proponent of you play, all right? But there is a fine line, and I do have to react to some of the medical data that's been presented. Otherwise, then I'm an idiot. And, you know, I'm not leaning on, if there's evidence, I'm going to incorporate it into my thought process. And there's enough evidence that says the more minutes that you play, the higher risk of injury, blah, blah, blah. It's been documented. And I take it not quite with a grain of salt, but slightly more than that. I just think it comes down to the eye test, and sometimes they do look tired, and a lot of times they do look small. And that's where you've got to make the move. Really, guys, if this was like year one of a three or a four, now, well, it actually is year one with this iteration of maybe a three-year championship window. If I had to really give it a definitive, you know, how many years can the Knicks be among the best in the NBA with this group? I'd say three. I feel like four is a stretch. I'll say three. But just because you're in year one with this crew doesn't mean you don't do whatever else is necessary to make sure that you really have a chance to win. And if they don't get a big, they're not going to win. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get back to the Nick calls coming up. 888-808-1019. I was, I wouldn't say pleasantly surprised, but happy when I saw Hop stroll in today. I'm going to have to hear about this gummy experiment that he did with Evan. We're going to get into that a little bit later. It's funny, I tweeted this out that they, you know, secured the gummies because, as we know, you know, he was running around like a crackhead trying to get gummies yesterday, and he got them. He got them, and they did their thing. It was awesome. I actually watched it. I tuned in live. I'm like, I got to see where these guys were at. So I tweeted that the gummies have been secured. They will take them at 9:30. And they will launch the 420th edition of the Rico Pod at 10. Now, a lot of you astutely chimed in. You might want to take the gummy at 9 so you have a little more time for the kick in, blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of things that we need to discuss. The thing that I got in a lot of the comments was, you and Sal have to do one like this. And I got to tell you, I know my partner's never done it. I'm up for it. It would have to be a podcast, but I think it would be absolutely bonkers if we ever did that. I don't know. I got to see if he's going to...
Hold on a second. Yesterday you spent half the show killing Hoff and Evan for doing a podcast with a gummy, and now you're saying you're going to do it?
Yeah, they came out unscathed. It didn't seem like anything went awry.
Were we the test dummies? Were we the test dummies?
Yeah, 100%. You know, listen, if you guys fell off the cliff, you know what I'm saying? I'm going back to 1980, Nancy Reagan. Hey, just say no, kids. Say no. This is what's going to happen to my former coworkers. No. Dove, I'm happy that you say that, and that's a very astute observation, but it doesn't fully apply. My fear, and if you look at the tweet, I wasn't worried about our guy, Hoff. He can handle anything, this dude. He's the last guy that I worry about. I was worried about Evan because he doesn't do it. Well, then again, Sal's never tried it, so I guess I would have the same fear for Sal, but I would just have to make sure I had his back, and I would.
So you didn't trust Hoff would have Evan's back?
I did. No, I definitely did, but I feel like Sal, I just know that Sal's a better hang, whether it's five drinks or five gummies. I just feel like Sal is going to be more in control no matter what than Evan. So it's like, you know, I think, you know, I thought, and to Evan's credit, it didn't turn into this, thank God. I thought that Evan would be more like the two-year-old and Sal on a gummy would be more like the 18-year-old at a prom. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan 1028 here on this Thursday. Time is flying, man. It's almost February. And pretty soon, pitchers and catchers. Ah, the sound of the rawhide. God, I still can't believe Soto's a Met. Oh, my God. All right, 888-808-1019. I'm going to get to the Jets and Rodgers kind of, with Aaron Glick. God, these Aarons, this is getting a bit much. Watch, the Knicks will trade for an Aaron. That's what we're talking about here. But I will do some Aaron Glenn stuff with the building out of his staff coming up at 11. Right now, again, listen, I think that right now is probably, for many of you, or at least some of you, I don't want to assume anything because the first call I took agreed with me on having to make a trade, and that's what I'm talking about here, despite, you know, the Knicks winning, what, five or six in a row, beating some really good teams, you know, hanging a lot of points on people, pretty good defense last night, pretty good defense against Memphis, who was the top three team of the Western Conference. Saturday's going to be fun. They play LeBron. I would love to smoke LeBron and throw Bronny in there while you're at it. Let him get a little taste of what the Knicks are all about. That's going to be Saturday night on, that's a national ABC game. That's going to be fun. And then you got the Rockets who are good. And this is what I don't want to have happen, guys. I'm preemptively addressing, and this is not the first time I've said this. I said this a month ago. And even at the early part of the season, me and Sal would, you know, kind of stick our toe into the Knick conversation. We were so busy with the football and even the baseball playoffs at the end of that and the fallout from the season and the Soto stuff. You know, you have to build up to the Knicks, and we're getting there now. I didn't love the way they looked. I didn't love the inconsistencies, but I certainly understood it because they're new and you got to gel. And chemistry is not bought and you can't get it overnight. But what I don't want to have happen, I don't want this would drive me nuts. Let's say Mitchell Robinson starts, let's say he gets cleared this weekend at some point. Doesn't play this weekend. He's cleared for contact, though. And he ramps up, say, another week or so, and it gets out there, and it's after the February 6th deadline. Well, guess what? At that point, you've got the Celtics on February 8th, and there's only so many games you should care about the rest of the way for the Knicks. Not that you don't want to win as many games as possible, but let's be honest here. I mean, some of these games are just going to be ridiculous. Like, all right, great. I just win the game and move on. But the Celtics game on February 8th, the 21st against the Cavs, and then the 23rd against the Celtics again. And I don't want to, and listen, if they don't make a trade and Mitchell comes back and he's healthy and he stays healthy. Like, there's two aspects here, guys. You gotta get healthy. You gotta stay healthy. All right. So that's why I'm not really willing to take that risk. But maybe it works out, and you call me up in early March. Ah, you see, you're overreacting. You know, you didn't really have to. The Knicks are fine. Here we go. They're going to win the championship. And maybe they do. Or maybe they do nothing, and Mitchell comes back, or he doesn't come back. There's a setback, whatever. And you're calling me up saying, ah, God, I wish they would have made a move. How are we going to win the championship without any real depth in the front court? Well, that's what I'm trying to guard against. That's what I'm trying to do. 888-808-1019. Billy's in Brooklyn. Bill, BT and Sal, what's going on?
BT, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Billy, what's cooking, buddy? How you doing today?
Doing well, thank you. I think for me, when we drafted Mitchell Robinson, the East was in a different position. We had Giannis and Joel. Like, he really served a purpose for us from a defensive mindset of that big, strong five. I think if you look how our team is constructed today in the East today, that five really needs to be a finisher around the rim. And I think the reason why Precious gets a lot more minutes and is showing that he's able to finish around the rim. Hartenstein got paid because he developed that little five-footer floater last year. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Robinson, again, great player. He's, again, I think he's awesome. But really, our team comes one-dimensional when he gets on the floor because he's not as explosive around the rim other than a lob and a dunk. Like, if he was able to develop a little floater, a little something, I'd say I don't want to trade him.
Yeah.
Just when you look at him on the court today, the pick and roll just stops with him. And teams foul him. The East is different that we need a guy who can finish around the rim.
Bill, you're 100% right. And you can tell that Bill watches every game. I mean, that's basic stuff, but that's the stuff that I'm trying to guard against here. So let's, and this is an assumption, let's say Mitchell gets healthy fully. Let's say another assumption, Mitchell Robinson stays healthy. Two things I certainly hope happen, right? But let's say we're at that point, whether it's first round, second round, whatever, playoff time. And it's a tight game, and based on the matchup, they got a little size, whatever you want, Mitchell Robinson on the floor. Well, if he's healthy, number one, and number two, stays healthy, and he's on the court at the end, it's basically 5-on-4. You can't give him the ball because you get fouled. You can foul him. And he's 45% from the 50% from the free throw. He's a train wreck. And it is amazing to me how a professional athlete cannot add a little more to the repertoire. Just a little. I mean, I'm not asking, like, you know, Luis Gil to come back with three new pitches, you know, or Peterson to come back with two new pitches for the Mets. Is it too much to ask one of these years for Mitchell Robinson to come back with a little four-foot floater? I mean, I remember seeing videos, this goes back years ago. I mean, you always see this stuff over the summer. Oh, so-and-so, look at him. He's a three-point shooter. Oh, look at this guy's jump shot. You know, it's really smooth. That Ben Simmons comes to mind. I'll be, oh, wow, look, he's really put the time in. And then the season starts, and he doesn't take a jump shot, or he doesn't take a foul shot, or what he does is broken. And I remember a couple years ago, I think it was two summers ago, and I bought it, and I'm like, well, it's the modern NBA, and he seems to be a hard worker because he was a second-round pick, and he seems to be overachieving so far. I don't know. Maybe the guy's going to hit some threes. And I remember watching this. I'm like, all right, here we go, Mitch. Come on. Man, imagine this guy starts crushing a few from, not like Steph Curry, you know, but a couple from downtown. He can't even shoot a four-footer. So there are a lot of, even if he's healthy, there are things that I worry about. Let's say he's healthy. Let's say Karl Anthony Towns, and he's been great. He's an all-star starter, and he's not quite Ewing. He's different, but he is awesome. He's such a skilled player, all right? but he's a little foul prone. What happens if he's on the bench? You want to play Mitchell Robinson out there? Now, at least last year, you had Hartenstein. So that's not anything that's very appealing to me late in a playoff game at all. And, you know, also the other thing about Karl-Anthony Towns, and this will be more for him as we get there, he played very poorly in the playoffs last year. Like, he shot terribly. I think it was like 18% from three for the T-Wolves, even though they went deep. So, you know, I'm just trying to preemptively guard against the Knicks being undermanned. Let me go Al, Uptown, BT, and Sal. What's up, Al?
Hey, how you doing? I was just throwing it out there. Maybe trading for Jimmy Butler. Make Jimmy Butler come off the bench. What do you think about that?
Nah, I'm not interested, Al. Why in the world would we do that? First of all, at this point, Jimmy Butler just, he confounds me. You know, there was a point, I love Jimmy Butler. Like, he's one of the last remaining OGs. He's a dog, you know? No nonsense, low maintenance. Let me play my minutes. Let me bust hump. And let me just really overachieve. Because if you look at his first year, maybe I'm off on the numbers, but his first year with Tom Thibodeau, I think he averaged like three, four, five points, whatever it was, coming out of Marquette. I mean, Jimmy Butler's, he's a Hall of Famer. He's had a Hall of Fame career. But number one, he's not 7 feet, so that doesn't satisfy what the Knicks need, and I'm not looking for drama. No way. Frank is in. Let somebody else deal with that. Now let Phoenix deal with that. Frank's in Roseland. Frankie, what's going on, Frank?
What's up, BT?
Yo, what's happening?
On the Knicks, I initially, big Knicks fan, I watch all the games. Initially, I kind of agreed with going after a big. But the more you think about it, you know, it's all about, especially in the playoffs, about a crunch time five. Mm-hmm. You know, Precious is a backup big. If Mitch comes back, he's probably not going to start. The thing is, if you get another big, you now have three bigs off the bench. I think rim protection, and this is why I think the Knicks may be in a tough spot to be an actual title contender. And listen, I think they could win the title, but if you have three bigs,
Frank, hold on. You really think today? You really truly can see this team winning a championship?
I think they're the four. I've done this in my head. I think they're the fourth best team in the NBA behind the Celtics,
Oklahoma City, the Cavs, Celtics,
and that's it.
Okay,
Denver potentially, but we've boat raced Denver twice. Yep. I think the Knicks are the fourth best team currently.
Okay,
I think you go after a wing, a 3-and-D guy, preferably a shooter. I think our defense is pretty solid right now. I want a shooter off the bench. I initially liked the concept of getting a big because of the rim protection. The problem is, again, it all comes down in the playoffs, especially to a crunch time five. Who are you going to play in the last 5 minutes of a game? You're going to have to basically rely on Towns to protect the rim with Anunoby because you can't have Robinson out there.
I know.
And if you trade for a big that you are going to play in crunch time, you're now sitting Hart or Anunoby or Bridges, and they're just not going to do that. So I think we kind of know what they're going to do here. And I don't think a big-time rim protector is going to make a lot of sense, to be honest.
Well, but hold on, Frank. I don't even think that there are a lot of big-time rim protectors out there. I mean, Valanciunas is not a big-time rim protector. He's just a savvy, big, strong, experienced, accomplished big. He's not a superstar. But, I mean, hell, let's say Karl-Anthony Towns tweaks a knee. Karl-Anthony Towns gets saddled with two fouls in the first 6 minutes against the Pacers, game two. Eastern Conference semis, just throwing stuff out, obviously, spitballing. I have no problem with Valanciunas playing 27, 28 minutes. And I guarantee he's going to give you 13, 14 points, 7, 8 rebounds. Guaranteed. That's the guy that I want. I've always said that. I mean, maybe there's somebody else I'm not thinking of, but it's not like, oh, they need the guy who jumps out of the gym and just is that massive deterrent to the rim. No, just get me another good basketball player who happens to be tall. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on The Fan. We'll get to the Aaron Glenn expansion of the staff. I want to give you something on that a little later. Also today, we're going to power up. And based on my partner's eye patch, we will give you the top five songs with the word "I" in the title. Up to your chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance. Oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah, I got this on the iPhone. Oh my goodness! A little digital underground, a little sex packets. Here you go. Oh my goodness! BT and Sound on the Fan. You guys should have been bumping this on the Rico last night. Anyway, it would have really been twisted. Now, I did tune into the Rico. We'll get back to the Nick calls here. BT and Sal. Sal is out back Monday as he recovers from grandma surgery. Just kidding, Sal. eye surgery. He's doing well. So I tuned in, and I'm a little disappointed in Yahav there. So I'm watching the Rico last night. And I tune in at 10, right? And I've caught snippets. I mean, I'm being lied if I said I'm going to, you know, wait up for a Rico, but I catch snippets, and I know Met fans love it. I know it's good, right? I'm just not actively hunting it out, you know, live, except last night, because I wanted to see, hopefully, a train wreck, which did not happen, but it was still funny. And if I'm not wrong, like, it didn't start at 10. You guys were a little delayed, weren't you?
Yeah, but that's kind of typical for us. We're like, hey, we're going to sit there at 10, then I send them the link, and then we kind of sit there chit-chat before we actually go live. It's like another way to build the anticipation.
Okay, so I didn't know that. I didn't know that you guys generally string people along and make them wait there for 9 minutes doing nothing while the grand entrance is about to occur. You know what I'm thinking? I'm saying, oh my God, maybe these guys are so high that they're bugging out that they're incapable of doing a show. That's what I was hoping. Of course, that's not what happened. Now, once, and I'm disappointed in you. So, you know, Evan is telling us, you know, again, you know, I never smoked. And he's set up the scene of this 420th episode, and he's doing what he's got to do. And Hoff, obviously, I wouldn't say you're a co-host, but you're definitely a very capable, relied-upon voice on the show. It's Evan's pod, but you've been with him for a while. So Evan's doing most of the speaking, obviously. And I'm like, all right, these guys get, now they're talking static. I don't care. So I'm sending both of you messages trying to make you laugh, like with stupid emojis, with F-bombs, and I'm like, stop talking about Pete's a bleeping geek anyway. Just get to the fun stuff. Like, hoping that you would see it while you're on the air and it would trigger some laughter and that I would be able to basically get you guys off the rails. Number one, because Evan wrote me back. You didn't even write me back. Jeez. Evan wrote me back after the pod. Number one, did you read the text during the podcast? And number two, at the apex of your, you know, the gummies kicking in, were you a little wacky last night?
Yeah, no, we definitely were. At the time of your text, I did ignore it, because that's what I usually do when people text me during the podcast, because I don't want to focus on too many things. I saw it, but I was like, nothing hit me, so I wasn't going to just try to toss something in there.
Yeah.
So I just want to see how the show goes. That's what we normally do. Like, listen, Evan's podcasts are the same. We add a little flavor to it, but it's the same way as if we had like a drunk podcast. Like, we're going to sit there and we're going to drink and then talk. And then if something crazy happens, which again, it kind of does, because naturally you're going to get into a little off conversations, but it's got a build to it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start throwing nonsense in there for no reason.
No, nor should you. I didn't expect that.
You were trying to get me to make a train wreck. Like, hey, well, Evan, you're an idiot.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking, maybe they'll read the text, then you guys will start getting off track a little bit. Oh, BT just hit me with it. Not that I'm looking to, I don't need any poppage. You guys are doing what you're doing. But I thought maybe it could be an avenue to a little bit more enjoyable conversation rather than the mundane Ryan Stanek breakdown.
Wait, but we have enjoyable. Well, see, here's the thing, we have enjoyable conversations. We got in depth on many different things, and those Ricos are for those fans. You got to remember this. So the 420 episode, yes, we're adding a little extra element to it, but the listeners and the viewers, because we do have a nice fan base, okay?
You guys have a nice backdrop, question.
We do very well. So for the people that want to see it the regular way, we're not going to just throw it off the rails because, We're taking gummies, so we're just going to throw with it, screw
okay,
it.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Fair enough. You're not going to just flush an important episode down the chute, so to speak.
Exactly. Every episode's good. But, by the way, it does get off the rails a little bit later on when things are all kicking in. Like, it didn't kick in to me until about 20 minutes in. Evan took it an hour and a half before, so he was already...
So he started a little bit wobbly.
Yes.
What did he text me? And I woke up to his text. He texted me. He goes, ha-ha, this stuff made me very, very, very relaxed.
Yeah, and then he told me this morning he had nightmares.
Yes, you did tell me. Anyway, well, who was in it? Didn't you tell me who was in it?
No, I don't know what his... he didn't tell me specifics. I just said, that's kind of what happens. That's what gets me paranoid.
Didn't you have a weird dream, too, or something? What happened to you?
Well, no, I started bugging out because, I mean, that's just usually how it goes, is after, I do this stuff, I kind of start to overthink things. Mm. So I was like, oh, man, I got to start being nice to my wife. Oh, I got to be nice to the kids.
Maybe you should take gummies every day.
Exactly. I start to, but then all of a sudden, then I looked at tragic news that the crash with the.
Yeah.
So I watched that video like a thousand times going, oh my God, I fly too. So then it's then everything just started spiraling, and I didn't get to sleep on, you know, as early as I wanted to.
I got you.
No, it was great.
That was a tragedy, but that's horrendous. All right, well, listen, I'm glad that you guys had a little fun, experimented, pushed it a little bit. I'm proud of you. That was good.
And let me tell you something. 5 milligrams was more than enough.
Nah, 5 milligrams.
You're like, oh, you guys are wimps. 5 milligrams. Go, go, go. Yeah, but exactly.
5 milligrams.
I think G would say it. Like, you said they're going like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. This is not smart. Hey, by the way, you might as well go for 10.
Well, don't you know by now there's the angel and the devil on each shoulder? I mean, come on, you know I am.
Listen, I go pretty hard most of the time.
Yeah.
But like you said, I'm not used to that stuff as much, so I'm going to go a little easier.
No, understood. You just got to stick the toe in and see where we go.
There you go.
All right, BT and Sal here. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to you guys talking some Knicks. Got to make a trade. I cannot, and I love what I'm seeing. They're rolling. They're beating some good teams. The chemistry's apparent. I cannot wait, and I cannot bank on Mitchell Robinson absolutely being healthy. The deadline's coming up. And I'm going to make a move. John is in West Babylon. John, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, BT, how are you this morning?
What's going on, dude?
Not much. Just, I know this is going to come out of left field, but straight up trade. Mitchell Robinson for Zion Williamson. He's not happy in New Orleans. He just got himself a suspension. It's not working out there. We need a big man. Straight up trade Robinson for Williamson. What do you think?
What is his contract at, Zion? That's an important piece of the puzzle. My first instinct, by the way, John, is I'm not interested. Why would you? He's just lazy, man. How do you trust that guy?
I mean, it could be the environment he's in. You bring him to New York, different. You know, sometimes that happens. You know, I'm not saying all the time, but he's a young guy. He needs to grow up. Maybe a change of environment for him would do that. Big stage, winning team, chance to win.
Hey, John, let me, and other Knicks fans have said that. Thanks for the call, buddy. You know, I do have to lean on something that I've always thought. I'm sure there's a few examples counter to this, but, you know, and Tiki would always say this, hey, if you're hurt, if you're injury prone when you're young, I mean, you're cooked as you get older, you know, and that's fairly obvious. And yeah, I would agree with that. But what also needs to be added to that is if you are lazy and you are sub-professional in your approach in terms of your work ethic and your diligence when you're young, there's a pretty good chance that's going to carry you around forever. And when you're making 39.4 next year and 42.1 in 2026, 2027, and 44.8 in 2027, 28. No, I am. There's no way I'm taking that chance. Phillip's in Jamaica, Queens. Phillip, what's going on?
Hello, thanks for taking my call. Always great talking to you.
Sal
pulls out fine with his eyes.
He's doing all right. Listen, you know what, Sal? Listen, we all know what Sal's doing. Sal's looking for a little love, a little attention. Sal's milking it. And I told him, milk it, dude. You work your ass off. You got 9 jobs.
Well, I want to talk about the Knicks. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but here's my point. I know you have to give up something to get something, but I like Julius Randle, and is the Knicks that much better with Karl Anthony Towns, Julius Randle? Because I think they gave up a lot to get him, and the bench would be deeper because they gave up. I can't say his name.
DiVincenzo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think they also gave up a first round draft pick, and my point is, are the Knicks that much better without Julius Randle? I mean, do you think they miss Julius Randle? Would he make a difference?
I don't think they miss him. I really like Julius. I got to be honest with you, Phillip. I don't think they miss him at all. I don't. Now he's got a little more dog in him. They're not poodles, but they're definitely not pit bulls, and they're not Rottweilers yet. Like, they're not German Shepherds yet. They're, you know, somewhere in between. Like, I need a little more bite. You know, a little more drool coming from the fangs. Like, I don't see that yet from this Knicks team. And Randall, he's got that edge to him. But, and I love Julius. I've got so much respect for him. I really do. He's one of those guys, when it's all said and done, I don't mean the diehards, but mostly will be kind of forgotten about. Because, you know, even last year he didn't play in the playoffs when they went on a little run. He was hurt. And especially if they ever get to the conference finals or the NBA finals and win, you know, then he's completely forgotten. But he shouldn't be, because he was a really important fixture in the reversal of this culture, which was as bad as any culture of any team in our city in my lifetime. I mean, it was comparable to, really, if you just think about that long, twisting, winding road of Nick's ineptitude, it was like the Stump Merrill Yankees. It was like the Rich Kotite Jets. Those are the top two that come to mind. I guess I would, now I was too young to really, even though I remember seeing some of these guys play, I would say the Mets of the late 70s when they were just awful. Just, I mean, they were terrible. Just like 5 or 6 straight years where they won 60-something games. Awful. Like when Torrey was managing them. But I know that they were cheap, but I don't know if they were poorly run. I can't really comment on that because I just wasn't really following it in real time. I was too young. But yeah, that's where the Knicks were. The Knicks were on that short list of, good God, how the hell are they ever going to get out of this? And they did, which is what gives me hope for the Jets and, you know, the Giants and every other team that's down. So, but it takes a lot. And, you know, I know we're about championships, even though we very rarely win them here. But don't forget about the guys that at least got us out of the hellhole. And Randall was one of them. So I've always got respect for him, always. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, back to the calls. Aaron Glenn, we know he's been introduced. We know he's the head coach. We know he's got a GM. Now the staff is getting filled out a little bit. How is the new Jets head coach picking his first assignments? I got to get into that coming up on The Fan.